Good morning, I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. One of the big mysteries of the Boston Marathon bombings has been the identity of Misha, an Armenian convert to Islam who, according to relatives, played a role in radicalizing the elder of the two suspects, the late Tamerlan Tsarnaev. Well, now the New York Review of Books has identified Misha as a Rhode Island man, and Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick has that story.
Using leads provided by the family of the bombing suspects, New York Review of Books writer Christian Carroll traced Misha down to what he described as a modest apartment in Rhode Island. The man with the thin red beard, who may have had an undue influence on Marathon bombing suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev, was 39-year-old Mikhail Alakverdov, according to the Review of Books. An internet telephone directory lists a person of that name in West Warwick. The FBI had already tracked Misha down. He told them and the reporter that he had nothing to do with the Marathon bombings. The Review quotes him as saying, "I wasn't his teacher. If I had been his teacher, I would have made sure he never did anything like this," end quote. Alakverdov said he was cooperating fully with the FBI, including turning over to them his computer and telephone. The Associated Press, quoting two unidentified investigators, reports they have found no evidence tying Misha to the attacks. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Woonsocket police say a suspicious backpack that was left at a Muslim home over the weekend was never a threat. The backpack contained phrases such as U.S. bombs and white stripe. Police say those are the names of punk rock bands. They've concluded that items inside the backpack were stolen from vehicles in the neighborhood. A group of students at the Rhode Island School of Design plan to spend the night occupying the office of President John Maeda. Rhode Island Public Radio's Bradley Campbell reports the students are asking him to publicly support a divestment of all of RISD's investments in fossil fuel.
Well, the students camped out inside the president's office.
Thank you so much for coming out. It means so much to divest RISD.
Almost 100 other RISD students took a break from their year-end projects to protest the design school's investment in fossil fuels. The protesters gathered at RISD Beach for a variety of reasons.
I just don't think it's something that should be supported.
Because I believe it doesn't make sense for our universities to invest in an industry that's threatening our futures.
I think this is just a first step of a really big change.
They marched down College Hill to protest in front of RISD's administration building. They want President Maeda and the chair of RISD's Board of Trustees to publicly support divestment. Senior Emma Beattie says the school invests around $9 million a year in fossil fuels. And while Beattie says RISD isn't known for social justice or advocacy, the cause is getting artists to think beyond their projects.
As you enter that studio world, you kind of forget about all the world around you. So we're hoping that this sit-in, this act of civil disobedience, will kind of pop that bubble, pop the RISD bubble, and let other artists and designers around us know that the world is still there and is looking for our leadership as we move forward.
The RISD divestment protest is part of a larger group of student protests occurring at some 300 colleges across the nation. In a written statement, RISD says the school is forming a study group on divestment. President John Maeda so far refuses to comment on the 11 students occupying his office. Bradley Campbell, Rhode Island Public Radio.
You're listening to Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. For several months now, we've been hearing about the cash-strapped Central Coventry Fire District fighting to stay open during liquidation. These financial woes seem like a case study for the challenges many cities and towns face as they try to provide services through a patchwork of small municipal agencies. In Coventry, the town council has now loaned the district up to $300,000 to keep it open for a few more weeks. To find out more, we're speaking with Gary Cody, president of the Coventry Town Council. Gary Cody, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me.
So let's lay it out here. How exactly did we get to a point where a fire district is facing liquidation?
In the town of Coventry, the fire districts are completely separate from the municipality. They are their own taxing entity, and they have control of their own budgetary restraints. In Central Coventry, what has happened in the past, under the direction of the previous board of directors, which have now all resigned upon suggestion from Judge Stern, what happened was is there was an $800,000 accounting error that continued to reoccur for 3 years, which put them about, at this point, I think the figure is $3.3 million in debt.
An accounting error?
an accounting error. The way it's been explained to me is that it was a mistake in the evaluation on one piece of property that they thought they were going to have an additional $800,000 in revenue coming to them, and that $800,000 never materialized because it was a mistake in the evaluation of that property.
Now, Gary Cody, you mentioned this fire district operates completely independently from the town government in Coventry. But what responsibility do town officials have in terms of making sure that a public safety agency like a fire district stays on top of its budget?
Well, that's a very important and profound question, because unfortunately, there are 41 separate fire districts in the state of Rhode Island. They have their own legislative charter and have been guaranteed the authority to tax by the Rhode Island legislature. They send out their own tax bills. They make their own budgets. They do their own audits. They do not, by law, report to the municipality of the town of Coventry in any way, shape, or form. We legally have no authority to demand any of those reports from them.
And in Coventry, you have four of these fire districts now.
We do. We have four of these fire districts, Central Coventry being the largest. They cover 25 square miles. They have five different stations, and they service approximately between 17 and 18,000 people.
And how did this come to be the structure? How did you come to have fire districts that are independent from town government as opposed to, you know, a fire department that's part of a city or town structure?
Elizabeth, I can't answer that question because the charters were issued in the late 1800s, and I can guarantee you that that was long before my time.
So this is an old system.
It's an antiquated system.
And now the town council has voted to loan up to $300,000 to the Central Coventry Fire District to help it stay open. But taxpayers have already voted not to fund the district. So at what point does the town listen to voters on this
issue? Well, I believe that the majority of the taxpayers voted not to approve the budget. I don't believe they realized that they were voting to liquidate the district. I don't believe that enough information is being provided for the taxpayers for them to be able to make an educated vote. They were voting down a budget that they could not afford. They were not voting to do without fire service.
And Gary Cody, what information do you feel taxpayers need right now that they're not getting?
Well, I think what the taxpayers need to realize is there are three or four different reasons that the town council decided to issue this loan to the Central Coventry Fire District. The first and foremost is absolutely public safety. I have been meeting with the chiefs of the surrounding three districts who have told me that if the Central Coventry Fire District goes into receivership for the first 72 hours, they can provide emergency services for that district in a timely fashion. But after the 72 hours, it's going to be virtually impossible for them to do it without affecting their budgets in a negative fashion. To be able to provide services for the Central Coventry Fire District, they are going to have to run separate crews 24 hours a day on overtime at a cost to those districts of approximately $5,000 a day. And none of the surrounding districts have budgeted for that. So for the first 72 hours, we can accomplish fire and emergency services for the Central Coventry Fire District. After that 72-hour period goes by, when those taxpayers call 911, yes, somebody will be coming. How much time will elapse before someone arrives? It's a crapshoot. Nobody knows.
What about consolidating these fire districts and, you know, drawing money from the taxpayers who would have been paying for the Central Coventry District even if it goes into liquidation and ceases to exist?
There has been a plan that is being worked on by the surrounding three districts, and that plan may indeed come to fruition. What people have to realize is that there are so many unknowns in this case right now, Elizabeth, that it's scary. The judge has indicated...
This is the judge in the receivership
This is Judge Brian Stern, the Superior Court judge who is overseeing the liquidation of the Central Coventry Fire District. He has indicated that the taxpayers in the Central Coventry Fire District may be held responsible for any outstanding debt after liquidation occurs. So let's just say that there is a unfunded liability right now in the Central Coventry Fire District of $3.3 million.
And when you say unfunded liability, you mean pension costs?
No, I mean secured loans that were given to the Coventry Fire District. It has also come to light that that there is a $6 million unfunded pension liability within the Central Coventry Fire District to the state employees' retirement system. So add that to the $3.3 million that is currently outstanding, and now you're up to $9.3 million. The Central Coventry Fire District also received a federal SAFER grant from the federal government for $1.1 million to hire new personnel. If those people are laid off now due to liquidation, that $1.1 million becomes due in full to be paid back to the federal government. Add that to the 9.3 that's outstanding right now, and you're up to $10.4 million.
And essentially, Coventry taxpayers are on the hook for that bill.
And that's the difference between bankruptcy and liquidation, and I think that's the information that a lot of the taxpayers are not getting. In bankruptcy, when you sell all your assets, whatever bills you can pay, you pay, and whatever you can't pay goes away through insurance payments or whatever that is. In liquidation, that's not the case. Right now, $10.4 million. Central Coventry Fire District holds an estimated $2 million in assets. Once those assets are sold off and that $2 million is paid, that still leaves $8.4 million in unpaid liabilities that the taxpayers may be held responsible for. The judge cannot tell us for sure that the taxpayers are going to be responsible for that outstanding debt. And until we know that for sure, we don't have the information we need to make an educated vote. And that's why the town council decided to bridge this gap with a $300,000 bridge loan.
And Coventry Town Council President Gary Cody, what happens next? What happens when that bridge loan expires?
The bridge loan will last them to May 15th. On May 15th, they will have a revenue-generating stream from the third quarter tax payments of approximately $1.2 million. First and foremost, the town of Coventry will be paid back any money that it has loaned to the Central Coventry Fire District out of those third quarter tax payments. But the additional money from the third quarter tax payments will carry the district through till at least July 1st. All this is to create enough time for a permanent plan to be able to be put in place. So I know when I lay my head on the pillow at night to go to sleep that there is fire and emergency protection to the taxpayers in the Central Coventry District.
And from everything you're telling me, Gary Cody, it sounds like there was some very serious financial mismanagement happening at this fire district. And the board, you say, has now resigned. Will anyone there be held responsible for putting taxpayers in this situation?
There is currently a state police and attorney general investigation going on per a court order. The judge, Judge Stern, ordered the special master, Richard Land, to notify the state police as well as the attorney general's office to start an investigation. Because what's happened here, Elizabeth, believe it or not, money from the firefighters' checks were deducted from their checks to go pay towards their pension, and that money was never sent to the Rhode Island Pension Fund.
So there's clearly a problem here.
There is absolutely a problem here. Now, I have not in the past made a habit of pointing fingers, but I can tell you that there has been some serious, serious fiduciary mistakes made within the Central Coventry Fire District by someone in charge, and those people should be held responsible. They should be responsible for the taxpayers.
Well, Gary Cody, president of the Coventry Town Council, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for having me in, and anything I can do to provide information to your radio station or to taxpayers in the town of Coventry in the future, I would be glad to do.